Are you ready to explore living life with greater ease, more joy, and doing what you love to do? Imagine That Coaching can help you discover possibilities, direct connect you to your personal passions. Visit www.dianesturner.com or call 847-824-6949. Imagine That Coaching, connecting person to passion. 847-824-6949. Toll free, 866-398-8877.
Indeed, live in the studio is the voice from that prior segment. Dianne Turner, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Zara, it's so nice to be here.
Boy, we've determined we've got to have all guests come live in the studio.
It is a party in here today.
It's a party in here today. Exactly right. Get your thoughts in while you can.
Right.
Well, Dianne Turner, again, she's here in Tucson this weekend. Dianne frequents between here and the Chicago area. She does primarily her psychotherapy practice there. Here, it's Imagine That Coaching, as well as working with groups and individuals all around the country at all points in time. Interesting background, Dianne, that you've coupled those two fields, as well as, I know, shamanic practices and a real holistic life, emotional, spiritual side at the same time.
You know, if you do this long enough, you have lots of options to bring in all kinds of skill sets.
That, and as well, writing a book, which hopefully I'm in the process of enjoying editing, as she was poking at me. Yes, I'm working on my soft deadline. I missed it, so I got to get to the hard deadline. Well, our topic today, using change as a teaching tool. Now, that makes it sound like we want to make this really friendly, as opposed to change being done to us or done we do to ourselves.
Well, I don't know about you, but almost everybody that I know, including myself, has this habit of responding to change and saying, well, I don't like change, or I don't really want change. I like things the way they are. And so there's this kind of natural habit of resisting change, the idea of change. But in fact, life is changing all the time. We live in a very dynamic world. Everything is changing around us constantly. So it's happening anyway. And so the issue is, do we embrace that and use it to move ourselves forward, to learn more about ourselves in a situation, or do we resist it and go into a place of struggle?
Struggle and then a place of fear, gridlock.
And often the struggle actually comes from a place of fear. It's sort of like, well, if this changes, what's going to happen? And so we start to doubt ourselves or ask ourselves questions about it, questioning our capacity to change, questioning what's going to happen in our lives, how is this going to make a difference for us. And so it really is an opportunity, as you know, I often talk about opportunity, to take a look, take a step back and take a look at, all right, if this is going to happen anyway, is there a different way for me to respond and create some greater ease for myself in the response to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, there's no better subject than what people are confronted in the career life and work life right now. I would also say this time of year, you've got a lot of college graduates,
right,
even high school graduates.
Right.
And for those who are fortunate enough of knowing what their next step is, whether they've got their first job lined up or they know they're going off to college, there's still a whole lot of things in your head that you don't know to expect. To try to stay in that mindful learning process.
It's very interesting, of course, because I feel like this is so synchronistic that I'm talking about this today. On the plane coming out here, I happened to be sitting next to a woman who is a project manager for an organization, and she was on her way out here with a couple of her colleagues to do a training for her management on resistance to change.
Ah, okay.
And so we had this long conversation about the corporate culture and how things have changed within the corporate culture top down, much of what Mark alluded to in terms of some of his consulting in the prior segment. And the fact is that she and I were talking about the reality that there's this disconnect between what's happening at the top and the story that's being told about the people who are actually doing the work, mm-hmm, and the actual experience of those people. So that the guy behind me then piped in and he goes, well, let me ask you this question, coach. And said, you know, we believe we're actually embracing the change and we're doing what they're asking us to do, but we're still hearing through email and through a variety of different methods that we're resistant to change. And so that's really got us confused and keeping us off balance. So if you take a look at what's underneath that, there is this disconnect that I believe has to do with fear. So maybe the person at the top is focused, has their focus in one area. Then you've got the people at the bottom, or the people who are actually doing the work, not at the bottom, but the line, your line sure. people mm-hmm. who are trying to be in alignment with that new way of doing things. And then you have this third party, the HR people, who are saying, but you're not doing it, and you're not doing it fast enough, and we feel you're resistant to change. Well, how do you deal with that? So that's, so you've got a lot of disconnect and a lot of confusion.
And I would say, and not necessarily the HROD or the change management people, it could be just your peers, or it could be someone on the outside who's observing.
Yes.
And then being critical in a place that they might not be informed too.
Yes. And I think part of it is not communicating what the expectations are. Not signing on for the new way of doing things or the new way of seeing things. And so all of that becomes out of alignment, out of sync yeah. with perhaps you've got people who've been there for a long time. And so they've been doing things a certain way. They're pretty comfortable with that. And they are also open to a new challenge and a new way of doing things. If they understand, and again, this is what Mark was alluding to, if they understand why, you know, why are we being asked to do it this way? How is that really going to serve us and serve this organization?
Well, and then also recognizing the audience for all of this is that people learn and understand and process in very different ways.
Absolutely.
Because I know you work with clients that some really appreciate that, you know, more, hug coach, soft, you know,
I call
saddle.
It process-oriented coaching.
Process-oriented coaching, yes, right. Whereas others need to smack across the bow.
Absolutely.
Not an abusive intent, but really crystal clear so I can understand.
Well, it's in a way, it's a way of holding ourselves accountable for what is our response to this, and do we really have a choice? And if we make that choice, what's going to happen? So, again, it's I believe we have choices, and sometimes the choices that we're presented with are not the choices that we thought we would have in that situation. And part of the strategy for using change as a teaching tool is it gives us an opportunity to step back, take a look at our skill set, take a look at what we're really good at, and then what are we bumping up against? What is it about this request or this new situation or this change that's really throwing us into turmoil? Sometimes it's something that we really cannot avoid. So a life event, for instance. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who just lost her husband, and this was certainly not something that she was desirous of, that she created herself, and yet it happened anyway. And now she's really in a very different position where all this space has opened up, all these possibilities that she had never considered. And to create a strategy where she can soothe herself enough and break down the challenges so that they don't become so daunting that she becomes paralyzed, I think that's really what I wanted to talk about, is where is the point of resilience mm-hmm. in this? So what are we good at? What can we manage? And where do we need to reach out for help? And where are we paralyzed so that we can then begin to move through that with greater ease?
Well, one of the things you do with clients I know as well, though, there's this very important first step, though, and that is you need to grieve, right?
Yes.
I mean, you need to grieve, acknowledge, embrace, whether you call it grieving or in some ways the celebration of life of something that's passed on.
Well, I think it's both. I think it is both, and I think it's the awareness that something different has happened that you were not anticipating, and yes, it's part of life, but we're never really ready for it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the reality that, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to create a life without this person, and how, what's that going to look like? So again, opportunity, not always so welcome in the beginning, and yet in the long run, from my own experience, what I know is that there's great possibility to create a different life without your partner that is really open to all kinds of things that you never can imagine. I call that acknowledging where you are, starting from where you are, and then moving from there.
Mm-hmm. Of course, what Diane is referring to, for those who follow the show, of course, know her story, is that indeed you lost your spouse suddenly when he was 50, and you're really weaving in and understanding so empathetically what your clients have gone through because you lived through it yourself.
I did. Actually, it wasn't suddenly. It was after a fairly extended period of time, although it is a different kind of grief because there's a different level of preparation. Mm-hmm. However, the impact, the ultimate impact on your life is very similar. It's about learning to be solo again after you've been married and presumably in a really good, healthy marriage, which is what my experience was.
Well, even people who might be the one that file for divorce, they may not appreciate, though, that they're still going to have to reinvent themselves on the other side.
Absolutely. Any kind of change, relationship change, career change, even physical space change.
If you move,
if you are in a situation where maybe you lose your home and you have to reinvent your family home, if it's by choice, if it's not by choice. So the bottom line is, what is your response to that change going to be? What can you really learn about yourself and create a positive out of something that initially feels like a negative?
That's a very good point. When Ted and I made the decision to move here from Connecticut, of course, we've been there for 12 years, raised our young kids through that process. And even though I felt I was the queen of give away, donate, throw away, sell,
right,
not until you'd moved, you realize, although I'm convinced the stuff bred on its own, I couldn't possibly have bought all this stuff.
Replicated in the closet.
Well, yeah, like how did we get 25 pairs of blue jeans here?
Right.
Well, yeah, we had six different closets, small, you know, closets. But anyway, I'm trying to rationalize. But confronting while it was an exciting prospect to come here, the journey of dealing with the stuff and crafting that new physical space, knowing coming from New England to Arizona that you don't even want to move half of your antique furniture because it would sit and pop and eventually break down out here because of the difference of ambience and the like. So much was new, even though we did this because we wanted that adventure, but all these things kind of snuck up behind me that I didn't know to expect.
It's interesting because I was, as you were talking, I was sitting here thinking about, we have this mythology in our heads that says as we age, change becomes more difficult. I actually would say to you that I think it's the opposite. I think that, or maybe it's both. Maybe it's difficult in certain ways because it challenges us to learn something different, and sometimes we get more entrenched in our habits or more comfortable where we've been, and it also is an opportunity to create something very exciting, and it's never too late for that. So I know you have a son going off to college, and I'm sure he's not thinking about change. He's in a negative way. He's probably really excited and looking forward to all the changes.
Oh, he's got it marked on the calendar. We're counting down the days.
How many days,
right?
are left?
How many days can now I won't feel, mom won't be bugging me about sleeping until noon.
Well,
you know?
And I don't know about your son, but as a girl, I was always thinking about, well, how am I going to decorate my dorm room? You know, and what am I going to take with me, and what do I need? And so it was so exciting and so much about what the possibilities are. As we get older, as we have more baggage or more things in our closet,
life overhead.
We are challenged to kind of go through those things again, and it does take some amount of time and focus to really do that and to create some intention around that. What is it I want to carry forward? What is my story about this stuff? We've talked about this. And what is it that I don't need anymore? So whether it's an organizational change, a way of doing something that doesn't work for the organization, doesn't work for you within that organization and that job, whether it's a relationship change that says, I have always done it this way, I've always thought this way, and now my partner's really having a problem with that, or I'm finding that that's not really working for me anymore. Whether it's a personal change, our relationship with food, for instance, as Mark was talking about, where we are learning a new way or new, it's just a new aspect to the same issue. So it's like shifting, it's almost like looking at a prism. So depending on how you turn it
and what the light looks like,
that's right, things are going to look
different. The externalities.
That's right.
I take you back to that. By the way, we're speaking with Diane Turner from Imagine That Coaching, and you can learn more about her work at Diane, S's and Sam, or Shirley, Turner.com. What is your middle name, by the way?
Well, that's my birth name is Strauss. So I use that as my middle initial.
So I'm going to say S's and Strauss,
right.
Turner.com.
That's right.
I should know these things if we've been working together. But Diane, so really what the challenge, though, is to do this intentionally.
That's what
you said.
With awareness.
With awareness. Okay. So those are two big terms.
Big.
Because otherwise it's so easy to be swept up in the moment and know against the deadline but to say, wait a minute, to take a breath, slow down.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I get 60 emails an hour. What are you talking about here?
Well, and even I'll tell you a personal example. So I'm offering a group in Chicago this summer called Creating Your Next Chapter. And I'm very excited about it. I think it really makes sense in terms of my own life and my own journey, and I often will teach from my own experience, so I find that that's really potent. And I had a rush of people who wanted to participate, and then everything kind of slowed down and dried up. And now I'm looking at it going, okay, do I have enough people to make it viable? And instead of focusing on what was missing, I took my own advice and sat down with my journal, my writing tool, and I started creating the workshop to see if there was any part of that information that I was out of alignment with. Is there anything that I'm struggling with that I'm not really ready to teach? Because in my own relationship with that topic, I have some fear, or I have some part of me that is not really prepared to move into that. So I use that as an opportunity to create the curriculum for the class and to do some creative work, which felt much, much better for me. And I really have a feeling that it's not going to be a problem. I just feel like that's an opportunity to look at a situation that is, be more intentional, be more conscious, hold yourself accountable, and then see what happens.
And then use change as a teaching tool.
Exactly.
And in your case, it was to teach you or pull you towards the opportunity of perhaps recrafting this,
yes,
for a smaller size audience.
Right.
In line with the other topic.
Right. Exactly. So it's interesting how we change with a big C, change with a little C. It's there all the time. So how are we going to respond to that in our own lives? And we have multiple opportunities all day long.
Yeah, like me last night when my computer froze up and realized, okay, I don't have any material prepared to the extent I usually like to.
Right.
And say, okay, what am I going to learn from this other than I need to still get a good night's sleep?
Yes.
And I know my computer is sitting there locked up, and mm-hmm. Okay, when will the airlift crew come flying in to try to rescue my the IT world? Yeah, these are, and you're right, they confront us day in and day out. And particularly, I think, for those, I mean, let's take it to a family scenario.
Yes.
For parents that, you know, the owner's manual, if he even had one, probably wouldn't be relevant. It's for the wrong model.
Right.
You know?
I always said, if I had been given a set of instructions, I probably would never have chosen to do this.
That's right. Or you would have ignored him anyways, and it's
right.
Kind of the human condition as well. But this idea of all of our relationships, there's still this great unknown because it's a dance. It's a live organism. It's not this static thing.
That's right. It is what I said earlier, which is dynamic. And we live in a very dynamic culture, a very dynamic life, dynamic relationship. So there is nothing static. And because fear regulates our rate of change, if we are very afraid, it may seem that nothing is changing. It may seem that, in fact, we're very stuck, when actually everything has slowed down so much that we actually can step back from it and take a look at it. So it's not something that's so dynamic that we're so swept up in, that we're in the flow of it. Instead, we really can take a step back, maybe take a step out of that stream for a moment, to use that metaphor of going upstream, and look at, okay, do I have the tools that I need to reinstitute some flow in my life? Have I really taken a look at what I'm learning here, or what this is teaching me, and be able to utilize that to move into more flow?
Well, you know, for those of us that do consulting, or as Mark and I and others, and you're the same way, we always say when we're depending on the next job for our clients, you
yes.
almost have to assume always this mantle of being permanently unemployed,
mm-hmm.
so that you're always on point for what
yes.
the other possibilities might be. But how many times we put so much heart and soul into giving a proposal,
right.
and we're really convinced that this is ours to get. We
yes.
just know it. But then we don't get it.
Right.
And so there's one hand that would say the fear that would hold you back for throwing yourself out there again, but the other changes the tool would say, you know, all that material I created wasn't for naught. How can I re-sculpt it? Or what were the core nuggets anyways that played to me nicely? How do I prepare that? And lo and behold, bingo, the right client's going to come in your path, because what you're looking for is really looking for you, but you may not be in sync yet to see one another.
Well, and again, that has to do with our own personal resilience and the story that we tell ourselves about those
Absolutely.
Things that could be perceived failures or obstacles or challenges, that actually, if we take a step back, can teach us something about ourselves and say, okay, how can I just tweak this a little bit, or repackage it, or present it to a different set of people so that perhaps I could have a different outcome? Or is there some part of me that needs to realign so that when I do present it, I'm actually communicating something different so that it gets received differently on the other end?
Right. But, you know, part of that challenge, of course, is we grow up in an academic culture, and our students and new graduates can relate to this who are listening in today, of I'm striving for the A, or I was a C student, so I'm striving for a B.
Right.
So it's this whole idea of being scored, and that if it wasn't an A, then I missed 10 as opposed to getting 90 right
mm-hmm.
out of the 100. To shift that, to remind ourselves that, look, this is all about learning.
Right.
And it's about keeping that bigger picture on where you're moving.
Well, and how many times in your own work with organizations do people look at bottom line in addition to what gets you there, what needs to be in place to get to that point? So in an academic setting, if you want that A, what needs to be in place in order for you to actually accomplish that, for you to achieve that? And that's not something we always start out with. It's a process. Some people do start out with A's, and then they want to achieve A pluses. They want to do more, or they want to challenge themselves more.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so there are those people who are always looking for more expansion and have so much thrill in that. So their points of resilience are actually in the expansiveness. There are other people who have that story that say, well, no matter how hard I work, I'm never going to be able to get there, so why even try? Or I've studied so hard for this, I know I'm never going to get the A, or it's going to be impossible for me to get the A. So looking at those stories and really holding ourselves accountable for, is that really my story? Is that a story that I've attached to that belonged to somebody else? Is that truly my experience? And are there ways that I can break that down to be able to create a different outcome and more success?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, these type of precepts you mentioned earlier, that you've worked with clients that have come to you with really difficult times where they're transitioning to, and to get them to be more intentional and to look for the possibilities. In the course of your doing this work, Diane, for so many years,
yeah.
How are you feeling the shift inside of yourself to guide people through?
I feel like I'm open to more possibility. I feel like I have more knowing, that I'm more trusting. And I also do hold myself accountable. So when I get scared about things, mm-hmm. which inevitably I'm human, I do, I have some tools in place, like writing, like meditating, like doing ritual, like talking to people that I trust, like just being quiet, that really help me be less afraid, move myself into a more resilient place, so I'm not as resistant to it.
Yeah. And when you work with groups of people, do you find that individuals within the group will support one another? It isn't just turning to you as the coach.
That's what I love about groups, is actually
you can take a break.
Yeah, actually, I just present the general concept, and then they take it from there, and it's so dynamic, and inevitably someone will come up with something that someone else in the group says, oh, I never thought of that. So it's so helpful for everyone, and I love that part of it.
Again, we're speaking with Diane Turner from Imagine That Coaching. So what's on the docket for you over the next few months? Or you mentioned something going on in Chicago this summer.
Well, I have a class that I'm teaching in Chicago called Creating Your Next Chapter. I'll be back in Tucson in the fall doing meditation groups and offering possibility workshops. I'm working on the book. I'm seeing regular clients, talking to people on Skype, and just cooking up more fun and more possibilities.
That's great. How can people get in contact with you then?
Well, they can check me out on my website at DianeSTurner.com, or email me at ImagineThatCoaching@gmail.com, or toll-free 866-398-8877.
Tell us a little bit about your book then.
The book is called Heart Wisdom, Creating a Life of Possibility. It's some of my own story, really starting from the place of my own inspiration and my own experience, and hoping that the way it's going to turn out, it's going to be an experiential book. So not just a book to read, a book to write in, a book to meditate with, a book to create change in your life, create more possibility.
And you were telling me you're going to hide some QR codes in it.
I am.
All this technology.
There's going to be technology in it. It's amazing.
Which I would say, great. Now I have to have my rock next to my book if it's not doing what I want. Just like my rock next to my computer that broke last night.
That's right, exactly.
But that's a new adventure in and of itself. I mean, for us that are digital immigrants, not the natives, to embrace the new technology.
My intention this year was to become more friendly with technology, so I feel like I'm moving in that direction.
So this goes back to learning from change.
That's right.
Well, that's great. Next topics. Where do you think you're going to head us now?
Oh, boy. I really want to talk a lot about going, kind of doubling back to the nature of possibility and the elements in embedded in that, so that people have a sense of how that can happen in their lives. And again, always talking about creating ease and creating relief when you're presented with things that are difficult.
Very good. DianeSTurner.com. That's for stress, by the way. Thank you so much for joining us here live in the studio, Diane.
Fun as always, Zara. Thank you.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.